Heyo, what's up? It's Aaron.
And Nicole. This is Dude That's Fucked Up.
Oh, yeah. How's everybody doing?
Oh, my God. I'm so tired. I am sans makeup.
Sans fard.
Oh, is that makeup?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cute. Yes, I'm sans fard.
Fard. Fard.
That sounds like
that sounds like Swedish. Dutch.
Yeah, yeah, something. Not
it's,
French.
It's F-A-R-D. Fair. Fair? Fair.
Far. Oh, yeah.
Sans fart.
No, I have plenty of those.
Yeah. Perfect. Oh, man. Man, oh, man.
I know.
Well.
We should just stay up top. We've, like, fully bailed on an episode, kind of. Like, we have some stuff, but.
Yeah, we, you know, we went into this. We're calling an audible. We called an audible on this episode. We had originally intended to bring you an episode that was full of silliness. And, I mean, there still will be some silliness. But in light of recent events that have happened in this past week, namely no justice being presented to the family of Breonna Taylor.
Yeah.
Or Breonna Taylor herself.
Yeah.
And it's just, it feels very, very wrong in this moment to, I don't know, I think a lot of what we do is we try to kind of create a space that's like an escape from all that shit, all the crazy stuff that is happening in our world right now. And we want to always do that for you, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that's a very important thing to do. But right now, I feel like for me personally, I can't do that right now. I can't,
yeah.
I can't, without
at least addressing it.
Right. Exactly.
Like we might get silly in the second half of this, but
yeah.
I feel like it's weighing heavy on our minds. It's affecting us. So
yeah,
got to talk it out.
Yeah. And you know, what better way, honestly, like, if we're not using this platform for something that's good, I don't know what we're doing, you know? Like, that's – to me, that's – this is our podcast also, so.
Yeah, so it's like
– but it is for you guys, and, you know, if this is – this shit's triggering and tough right now and you're having a hard time with it, like, I totally get it. And
yeah.
I do hope you listen if you're not really up to speed on everything. But yeah, I just really wanted to say, Black Lives Matter, always, forever,
yeah,
going forward, not going to shy away from that shit anymore. Breonna Taylor mattered. She deserved so much more in life and in death. Justice was not reached in the case to convict the men that murdered her, to even charge them. They got charged with nothing. To be completely frank and honest and blunt, her neighbor's drywall received more justice than she did.
Yeah.
The only person that got charged for anything was the guy who was firing willy-nilly into the apartment and accidentally hit not her, but other people's apartment walls with his bullets.
Oh, my God.
And, yeah, I just am – it's fucked up. And
yeah,
the most fucked up thing about it is that I knew it would happen. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew deep down that justice was not going to be.
Duh. Served. Why else would it fucking take this long? You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. It's like, yeah, Breonna deserves justice. Her family deserves justice. Excuse me. But also, like, fucking everybody else deserves justice. Like, this shit is fucked up. And, like, to not use this as a turning point to, like, find a way to turn this all around. Like, why are we doubling down on this is my whole thing. It's like
– it's clear. It's clear as day and it's
– it's clear as day. You fucked up.
And if
own it.
Yeah, if we don't do anything about this now, right now in this moment, while this is so – while, like, so many people's pain is so fully on display, then – we're all fucking monsters, you know?
And it's like, why are we marching in the streets? Everyone who's like not doing something to help change, and like, not, I'm not saying everyone needs to be out in the streets. I know that's not everyone's like way of showing support or like being an activist. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're not using this moment to learn and do more and do better, emphasis on do, like, what else are you doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what else?
You're allowing.
Nothing's more important than this. Yeah. I just, like, it's all of our shared responsibility to, like, make this country a better place for everyone who lives here. Yeah. And we should start by, like, paying back the fucking 400 years that this country just, shat on and continues to shit on and be, like, just unthinkably cruel and violent to black people. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I don't know. It blows my mind. It's.
Yeah. I'm so fucking sad that at this point, all of my faith in our judicial system is pretty much gone.
Crushed. Yeah.
And I'm even more disturbed at the fact that I was only ever shown a fairy tale version of justice.
Yeah.
And that was only for really white people.
Yeah.
And it just led me to believe that there was ever.
White, middle class and above.
Yeah. And yeah, right. Exactly. There's like definite class divides that have hurt white, like poor white people too.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I'm sad and I'm beyond angry that that was all that was ever shown to me growing up in movies and pop culture and on TV, whatever. And just taught to us in school. And it just led me to believe falsely that there was ever justice available for black and brown people.
Yeah.
Like in the first place, like thinking that was like a thing that could ever be attainable or ever actually truly exist for every person on this planet or in this country. So
I just got full body chills. It's like, yeah, when you're learning all this stuff as a kid, you're not seeing, you're just like assuming, oh yeah, this is how it works for everyone. And like, I saw the dumbest TikTok recently where it's like a video of what I learned in terms of civil rights. And it hit so hard because it's like, oh yeah, there was slavery and then there was segregation, but then there was the civil rights movement. And we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Where it's just like that truly, I felt like, oh wow, someone sees my education level. And that's embarrassing. Because yeah, I mean, in high school, I feel like in elementary, middle, and high school, it's like we just learned that, oh, it was like really bad here, but now it's fine. Never once questioning why there weren't black people in our high school or our middle school. Like, why?
Or did you ever have a black teacher?
No, but I mean, like,
you know, like,
yeah,
but, like.
It's ridiculous. And like never once questioning like why I felt safe in the mountains, but I didn't feel safe at the mall in San Bernardino. Mm-hmm. Like, or just whatever. Like, yeah. I didn't not feel safe. But, you know, it's like, oh, everybody lock your doors. We're driving through this area. All that type of shit. And it's like, oh, we fully weren't learning anything about what we could see happening, and we also didn't learn to question it.
Yeah,
it's fucked up.
Yep. And it's just, it's like when you're kind of indoctrinated with the, you know, everything, like here's right and here's wrong and everything's hunky-dory for you but not for a shit ton of other people. We go home from school and we tell our parents what we learned that day in class. Yeah. And they're like, oh great, I learned the same thing, that's so cool, like did you know this, blah blah blah. A black kid goes home, says the same thing that they learned in class, and their parents have to be like, well, that is a very small part of it.
Yeah.
You know, here's the 8 million other things that you have to keep in mind about history and how it affects you still to this day and how you can't literally – you cannot feel safe.
Yeah.
And I'm so sorry.
And how life isn't fair for you.
Yeah. It's not fair for a lot of people, but especially like it's beyond unfair. It's unsafe, truly, to be a black person in your own fucking home trying to relax.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I will say it has been making me think a lot about my brother-in-law, who's a public defender in Alaska, where, I mean, it's not like super diverse. There are Native people in Alaska, but for the most part, it's a pretty white state.
It's Alaska, yeah.
Yeah. But he's a public defender, so he's helping everyone, you know, that can't afford to go out and hire a lawyer who are up against charges. And I always used to think, like, it's been making me feel like, one, wow, like, he's the coolest that he does this and puts his, like, heart and soul and blood, sweat, and tears and holidays and all of his free time. And by free time, I mean he doesn't have free time. Right. It's his own time where he should be, like, spending time with his family and, you know, like, engaging with them. He's spending it, and I've seen this, on the phone with people who are, you know, going through the judicial system, his clients. He's spending it holidays going and visiting them, like, spending hours before he even, like, hangs out with his own family, making sure they're doing okay. He's, like, it just makes me feel like shit that, like, anytime we've been together and he's, like, out there trying to make our system work in a way that is fair for people that don't have access to resources, it makes me feel shitty that I've been like, oh, Benny's too, like, busy. Like, oh, can't he hang out with us? Why is he always on his phone? Just, like, kind of giving him shit. And now I'm like, I will never do that again.
Yeah.
Like, I am so proud to know him and so proud of, like, he gets all these accolades and stuff in the state, and he just is really good at his job. And it just makes me feel like happy too that there are people, and I know people like that, and we know people like that from high school that are out there working with ICE, you know, against ICE,
I should say,
with immigrants, like, trying to get them out of the system and get them to be legal and paying their legal fees and, like, knowing those people, and that makes me so happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I guess silver lining, if there is one.
Yeah, and I just think, too, if even if you don't know anybody, if you don't have these direct connections to people, like, it's still worth knowing that there are good people in this world that do this work and will continue to do this work forever and ever, no matter how hard and how unfair and how fucked up our systems are. There are still really good, dedicated people out there. So,
and we all know them.
And all hope is not lost. And as fucking awful and cynical as I feel right now, the thing that I know is that, like, that I know deep down and I always keep coming back to, is that it does not have to be this way.
Yeah.
And we have the ability to change it. We, each and every person on this, in this country, have the ability to change it.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of ways you can do that by getting involved in your local communities.
Mm-hmm.
And you have highlighted some ways to do that here.
Yeah. I mean, what you're kind of leading towards is voting, for one thing.
Yeah, of course.
And I just want to say, like, make sure, obviously, you're registered. We'll talk about that. But there's just so much locally that you can get involved in that you can actually affect change. And I think I've talked about this before, but I've been talking about it to everyone who will listen, is that, like, the pressure that we put on our elected officials counts, and it does something, and it makes them, I mean, they work for us, and, like, the pressure that we put on them is very helpful, and it gets things done, and the more we get out there and we make our voices heard, the more that they can't look away because it will affect their future and whether they have a job next election and, you know, whether they're liked and all of these things. So, something that I've been doing, I've been trying to do a lot more research on the local measures and local propositions that we have on our ballot. And I obviously can't speak to everything, you know, in every city across the country. But in LA specifically, we actually have measures and propositions coming up on this ballot that will affect our judicial system and try to undo some of the fucked up stuff that currently exists in it. So, like, for example, one of them is Measure J, and the measure, it's basically defunding the police. It's making sure that 10% of locally generated unrestricted county money, so about $400 million of LA's budget, will be spent on housing, mental health programs, jail diversion. That's other options that aren't jail.
That aren't just jail, yeah.
In terms of, like, punishment or, like, you know, reforming people. Employment opportunities and social services. And the fun part of that is that that money cannot be then rezoned, I guess, or, like, redistributed ever to anything related to prisons, jails, or law enforcement agencies. It's untouchable. It cannot be cut to funnel to anything related to the police. So it's pretty cool. And that is what defunding the police looks like. And it's amazing. It's Measure J. It was something that had to be pushed to be included on the ballot. It's like the people's budget. It's really cool. Another thing is Proposition 17. That's about restoring voting rights to people who have completed their prison sentence. Look for this in your local cities.
Yeah, there are some forms of this.
There's a handful. Yeah, Florida.
Yeah.
I think has one, or maybe they've already voted on it.
They've already voted. I think that was last year. I think okay. They did. I can't remember, but yeah, they had a measure on the ballot that reinstates people's voting rights after they've served their prison terms. Like, it's just.
Which is fucking common sense. And that is also justice. If we're saying that you committed this crime and the way that you will pay back society for what you have done is to spend 5 years in prison and you do your time, you've completed the contract.
Yeah.
We are good. We are squared. Because that's what we all agreed to. So the fact that people are not having their voting rights restored blows my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I think it's like parole adjacent. There's like a little bit more to this proposition. But it's important to learn about. Were you going to say something?
No, I was just saying. Oh. I was just agreeing with you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild. And then the other one too for California. And I just am being specific about these because in the past I definitely would have just like looked up how the LA Times told me to vote and then just been boop boop, but no, I'm like, what do I actually care about? And I've been spending more time volunteering and stuff for some of the organizations that are pushing these, so I'm like more aware this election, but I just think it's important to be aware. And I'm sorry that it's like maybe people are already know about all this and I sound like maybe I sound like, oh, she's just like learning this or like calm down. Yeah, we already know this, but I'm just learning this and it's not something I paid attention to before. I think my focus has always been on like women's issues and that's where I spent a lot of my passions. That's like where my passions came out, but there's so many bigger things, not bigger, but I don't know. There's just like so many things.
It all intersects.
It all creates
a web that, it supports a system that is unjust.
Yeah.
In all the ways. You have to see where all the strands are coming to and you have to try to simultaneously. I mean, this is why everybody needs to pay attention right now in this moment because this is what fighting is. This is what the fight is. Like there's so many things that are so hard to cut through a lot of the bullshit with. And that is what we have to fight through and have to educate ourselves about. And you know, it's really hard. It's a lot of work, but this is the work. And I mean, and on top of everything, we lost Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Speaking of women's rights.
She was truly one of the last pillars of, you know, the bulwark holding up the tide or holding back the tide of bullshit.
Yeah.
But, you know, we lost her, but it shouldn't come down to like one woman, one person on the Supreme Court. Like we need to have some some more systems in place here, and which we do, but like it's a lot of this stuff is being laid bare about how vulnerable parts of our government is, about just how the whole system works and doesn't work.
Dude, and that poor woman, she never fucking retired.
I know.
And like this was her life's work, but also like she should have been in Maui the last couple of years. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Like, yeah.
She should have been fucking Mai Tais every day, not battling cancer and then having to go to work. And like, especially with this administration, like, you just want better for people, you know?
Absolutely. She fought so hard and for so long. Yeah. We don't even have like the ability to actually properly mourn her. We have to like actually get to work and, you know, make sure that her all of the things she fought for weren't in vain.
Yeah.
We lost her. We lost RBG, but we have not lost the ability to fight and stand up for the principles and the values that she upheld. And, you know, we can cry. We can be mad. We can be cynical like I am right now about a lot of shit. But we can also simultaneously try to change the shit. Like we can do all those things. Like we contain multitudes. We can, we can do it. I know I can. I know I can be really fucking pissed off and channel that like rage into certain things.
Yeah.
So those things that I'm talking about specifically are, of course, this is like probably so annoying at this point. It's all that's being spread around on social media. Register to vote. White supremacy is systemic, and we have a rotting taint filled with garbage juice running, quote unquote, running our country and enabling racism, hate, and spreading this misinformation, undermining democracy, all at the same time. What a multitasker.
Oh, my God.
That's the only good thing. It's not even a good thing. Multitasking's bullshit.
Well, right, but maybe he shouldn't be, you know?
Yeah, just because you – can doesn't mean you should. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to obviously endorse.
You're making an endorsement.
I'm making an endorsement.
Attention, alert, alert.
It's a DTFU exclusive.
Exclusive.
I'm going to go ahead and endorse Joe Biden and Kamala Harris because.
Oh my God, same.
Yeah, it's. Because we can't take much more of this shit. We really cannot. No. And, you know, they're not perfect.
No.
They are not my first choice by any.
Or second.
Or second or third.
Third or fourth.
But you know what? They sure as shit aren't anywhere near as god-awful as who we have right now.
Yeah.
It's like – it's not even close. You know? It's not even a fucking debate.
Yeah. And also, like, we make jokes like, oh, they weren't, like, my first, second, third choice, whatever. Okay, but they're still, like, perfectly competent. I mean, Joe Biden has been working in the government for decades and was our fucking vice president. Like, he's qualified. You know, we don't – he's not our favorite. He said some weird shit. Maybe he's too old. I don't know. But it's, like, he'll be fine. You
but
know?
He at least understands that he works for us. And
yeah.
He has an obligation to make actually make America a place that people want to live in and, you know, feel safe in. And that is not the current situation. So also another
thing. And Kamala's cool.
And Kamala's cool. Love her.
Love her. She's cool.
So, let's see. Oh, volunteer to be a poll worker. That's another pro tip.
Yep.
It's really easy to register to do this. I actually – the thing that, like, prompted me to go register to sign up to be a poll worker was – I don't know. I saw something and I went to vote.org, which is a great resource. You can find everything that you need for all of your voting needs. And I actually, they have like a link you could go to. You just like put in your zip code. It'll tell you what you need to do to sign up to like to submit basically an application to become a poll worker. And so I did. I heard back. My application was accepted. I'm just waiting to hear if I will be needed. So
So nice. My aunt posted something in our Facebook group, and I was like, okay, I'll do that. She was like, it would be great if all you young people could volunteer.
Yeah. And I was like, that's the thing, cool man. When it comes down to it, like, if I want to be a member of my community, I don't want the people in my community who are older, who are more susceptible to actually dying of COVID, to have to like be interfacing with the public in this way. Like, it's not safe for older people. I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily safe for me, but like, I think the chances are better for me. So, it's super easy to sign up to be a poll worker. So check that shit out. And then another thing you can do is fill out the census. The deadline when this comes out will be today.
Yikes.
Wednesday, September 30th is the deadline. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, fuck, I totally forgot to do that, I would think maybe a poll or a census worker has probably come by your place to ask you those questions. But if not, do that shit. You probably already have. But if not, go to 2020census.gov right now. Stop this podcast immediately and go fill it out if you haven't already.
Hopefully you did though, and hopefully you're registered to vote and all that. I keep checking because I feel like Facebook and Instagram and every ad on the internet knows something I don't know, so I've checked multiple times and will continue to.
It's like all of my insecurity and anxiety is like I wake up out of a dead sleep, like check my voter registration.
That's what's running your anxiety right now, instead of like, did I do that thing? It's like, am I registered? Oh my god.
And even if you did fill out the census and you're like, what the fuck did I do that for, who cares, just know that your response helps to direct billions of dollars in federal funds to local communities for schools, roads, and other public services. And the results from the 2020 census will be used to determine the number of seats each state has in Congress and your political representation at all levels of government. So that's important. That's where this shit starts. We, like, saying go vote, I'm not just talking about the president.
That's the least important, honestly, for me right now. Feel like that'll – the last two elections have been – no, not the last two. The last two – no. The last two elections where a Republican won.
Oh, gotcha.
Have been not decided by the popular vote.
That's true.
So.
Yeah. So, and in addition to all of those things, keep paying attention, keep reading things, read the right things. I mean, do a news literacy quiz, like make sure that you are up to speed on what is bullshit and what isn't.
You might not be.
I've
gotten got recently. There's the news literacy project.org maybe. And you could take little quizzes, like Aaron's saying, and I did all right, but then I also got some things wrong, so.
It's fucking insidious shit.
Yeah, they're trying to mislead us on purpose, so.
Yeah, in addition to all that, protest, right, call, make noise about the bullshit we are collectively dealing with right now. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, so I guess maybe just like pick your top three. I don't know. But most of all, just give a fuck. Give a fuck about yourselves, about people that you love, about people that you don't know, about people that don't look like you or have the same background as you. Please. Mm-hmm. Like that. This is you're not empathetic if you're not caring about everybody else. But, you know, if you're only caring about the people that are like surrounding you, whatever, and not everybody that's in on all of this with us, then, you know, that's not true empathy. Just remember that we are in the bad place.
Yeah. With
our powers combined, we can turn this shit around. It's like I think of it as like a huge ship in the middle of the ocean.
I was thinking like Captain Planet, where we put our rings together.
Oh, that too, for sure. Okay. It takes like a lot of strength, and it's kind of slow to turn it, but we can do it. We have to. Yeah. We can't just keep – to keep on with this fucking metaphor, we can't just keep sailing the ship into a hurricane.
Yeah.
We need to change course. We have to, and we can. Let's do it.
We have to engage all engines. We need full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead, hard off the starboard board. Watch out for that fucking iceberg. Don't hit it. We're not going to be the motherfucking Titanic, okay? We're not going to do this.
Yeah. But if we were the Titanic, let's make sure we get ahead of the game, and let's just drown all the millionaires and billionaires that are on the boat. And then
no lifeboats for you. Yeah, yeah, no lifeboats for you, sir.
Honestly, the rest of us will get
Bezos,
scrappy.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Bezos. I always say his name wrong. I don't care.
It's okay. Bezos, because he's like Beelzebub. He's the devil. Yeah, it's like, oh, we should be like, oh, yeah, the lifeboats are that way. Lock the doors. They're stuck over there because they were all like trying to fight everyone to get to lifeboats. And the rest of us are like calmly getting in lifeboats. We're all going to go the same way, and we're going to stick together, and we're going to do this right.
And we're going to get, I don't know, saved or
saved.
Float on a door.
We're saving ourselves. We're going to, yeah, we're going to, no, then we're all going to go. We're all going to take the boats to Maui, where we'll live happily ever after.
Okay. I love
it. Or a deserted island or whatever. Maui, I think there's already problems with, like, fucking Mark Zuckerberg, like, buying up half of an island.
Oh, fuck that guy.
I know.
What a dick.
I bet we could tie anything we talk about from now moving forward that's shitty back to either Mark Zuckerberg, Jeff Bezos, any other rich people. Fucking Lori Loughlin.
Oh, God. What a twat.
I don't know. Yeah. And also, I hope this isn't all, like, super preachy. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are already, like, up on current events and doing all the right things. But maybe there are people that, like, aren't fully aware, or maybe, like, are just assuming, you know, like, yeah, I'm registered to vote. But it's like,
yeah,
dude, did you move? Did you change your name? There's, you know, it's like, we don't know. That's stuff we're not thinking about and no one's really talking about. So it's just like, are you registered? So if you're assuming, it doesn't hurt to double check.
Yeah.
And everyone's doing a great job. But also, let's try and do better.
Yeah, you're doing amazing, sweetie. But also, people are dying.
Yeah.
There's people that are dying, Kim.
Yeah. You're doing amazing, sweaty, which is what I always want to say.
I'm sweaty. But I just, you know, we have to be active participants.
Yeah.
This is what it all comes down to. This is our country. This is.
Yeah.
It's us. They work for us. And it doesn't have to be this way. God damn it.
Yeah, and also it's okay to start fights with your brother that become 4-hour conversations via text.
Absolutely.
Because he needs to know you're passionate and you want him to fucking vote, and that it's not about him, it's about everyone.
Yeah. Hear, hear. Right. That's right.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Cheers.
Cheers, sweaty.
Cheers, sweaty. Oh, God. Well, we talked about the census for a hot second there, and it got us thinking about how crazy the census is, really. And I wanted to know a little bit more about the history and some of the fucking most fucked up things that have ever happened in terms of the census. So if you think about it, it is pretty insane that people are going around and – counting every person in this country.
Yeah.
So what the census is, if you're not fully aware. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you don't live in the U.S. And
in the U.S. and you don't, or you don't care. It's a decennial, which means every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Every 10 years, it is legally mandated by the U.S. Constitution that –
Constitution
that every resident in the United States has to be counted.
Yeah.
That is, each person currently residing within the United States does not have to be necessarily a permanent U.S. citizen, just whoever's living in the country at that time.
Yeah.
The first census was taken after the American Revolution in 1790 under Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson. And there have been 22 federal censuses since that time.
I wondered if it was like censies or censi, but I guess just censuses. Censuses sounds like senses, and but it sounds like sensual senses.
Sounds like breastuses.
You've engaged all my senses.
It sounds like sinuses. Like my censuses are clogged.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, and it basically just asks really straightforward questions like how many people live here, what are their ages, what are their marital status, what are like what's your household income. It's like very, very basic, and there's only a few questions.
Yeah.
But from that, we learn so many fun facts, and I'm putting fun – I'm de-emphasizing fun, and it's in air quotes, because these are just really facts.
Okay. You're just, like, sub-fonting it?
Yeah, yeah. The first thing I learned, which isn't fun or not fun, it just is a fact, is that marriage rates – this is all stuff you could learn from the census. Also, there's tools where you can, like, play with information and, like – yeah, there's a tool from the 2010 census where you can, like – change the levers and stuff, and it'll tell you information based on demographics. Like,
I love that.
Talked about. Yeah,
it's fun. I love looking at data. It's so fun.
Me too. Oh my gosh, we're little data analysts. Tip of the hat. But I didn't do this. I just read an article where someone else did this, and they were talking about marriage rates, and they said that when they looked at the data, marriage rates take off around the age of 28. So, like, as a country, the average age where, like, a majority – starts to, like, really have a steep incline and the majority of people are married starts around 28, and then marriage rates slow down significantly at 68. Okay. Like, in terms of who's married and unmarried.
Gotcha.
Widowed, divorced, otherwise.
I see.
Right in the middle of that range, from 45 to 60, is where the bulk of divorces happen.
Ooh.
So if you're in that age range, watch out. Or maybe go for it.
Call my aunt. She's a great, marriage.
Aunt Sandy.
Yeah, Aunt Sandy. She's oh my God. Boss.
She'll get you your money.
Sandy Salinas.
Call 1-888 whatever. Sandy Salinas will fight for you.
She will.
And then she'll teach you blackjack.
Mm-hmm.
Or other card games that are more hard.
Yeah. Craps.
Blackjack. Yeah, craps. She'll teach you craps. And then the other not really fun thing was by the age of 70, the number of people who report being widowed starts to climb. If you're going to be married, you're probably between 28 and 68. If you're going to be divorced, you're between 45 and 68. And if you're going to be widowed, you're after 70.
Got it.
That was interesting, I thought.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd take this one.
This one is interesting. So the Census Bureau estimates that back in 1970 – when they did the census in 1970, over 6% of African Americans went uncounted, whereas only 2% of European Americans went uncounted.
Is that white Americans?
Yeah, that's how they defined it back then, I guess.
Okay.
And then I'm going to just skip through this part because it's like, who cares? But even in the census, there's just some – real bullshit happening.
Oh, like racist shit?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I have some more for you. This is cool. Earlier, so it's more racist. But seeing as how there were previous findings of racism in this country, who would have thought? According to the History Channel, the 1840 census had the census workers, which are called enumerators, going door to door trying to categorize the mental health of U.S. citizens. So they were actually going door to door and asking people, do you have any insane or idiot people living here? Which is so rude, and we would never say that now. But it was basically like, do you have anyone with like a mental illness living here? Or I guess someone who's born with like a learning disability. But it was 1840 and they were not very nice. But as you could guess, that year they severely overcounted the number of free black people who were insane or idiots. Data that supporters of slavery later used as propaganda to argue that black Americans were unable to handle freedom.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. But then it gets worse because scientists around this time. So the reason they were doing this was supposedly to try and get funding for asylums. There was like an asylum boom, which were like hospitals and mental health facilities. And so they were going around getting this information. But what happened was they wanted to lock people up that were qualified as insane or an idiot. And so they were trying to get asylum funding, but scientists were doing it so that they could lock people up. They didn't want to help them. They just wanted to like remove them from society. And the more fucked up part is this was also around the time where scientists were basically interested in eugenics.
Oh, yeah.
So they were also taking this categorization of either insane or idiot and looking to keep people from reproducing. So they were like heavily sterilizing people in asylums around that time. And of course, they were like correlating a lot of it to people being black, which we know is not true. And it's just very generally fucked up, which. Ugh. This shouldn't scare you from filling out the census, though I can see why it would.
That was then. That was 1840.
Yeah, that was 1840. Still not great.
Not great.
And then the last, like, not fun fact is that this was – I just thought this was crazy. The 2010 census projected that 1 in 4 people will be age 65 or older by 2040.
Holy shit.
A whole quarter of our population.
Oh, my God.
Which is, like, no wonder no one will have Social Security or anything. Like, we're just going to
– No, we won't have shit. And
yeah, we're not going to be able to take care of them either. It's, like
– Yeah, those are, like, our parents. Like, yeah. Our grandparents will be gone. Those are our parents. Those are – it's going to be, like, all of us taking care of our parents, having to, you know – Oh, man.
Dude, we'll be almost 60 in – wait. Oh, yeah, by 2040? That's 20 years.
I thought you – I didn't think – I heard not 2040. Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
That's us.
I don't think – our parents might not be around. It's almost us.
No, it's – our parents won't be around.
Yeah, they might.
It's sad.
No. My mom might be around. My dad won't, for sure.
Yeah. Ugh, well, let's move on.
Yeah.
That's fucking
depressing.
Maybe
my dad will. I mean, he could live into his 90s.
You never know.
TBD. We'll see.
Yeah. So then I got to thinking, what are some of the craziest things that census workers have ever had to deal with? Because they have to go to every single house, every single resident. So back in 2010, there was a man who was killed / committed suicide.
A census worker?
A census worker.
Wow.
Who was found – this is very – very much a trigger warning. William Edwin Bill, he went by Bill Sparkman Jr., was an American school teacher and field representative for the United States Census Bureau, and he was found dead in September of 2009 under suspicious circumstances.
Whoa.
So there was like a 2-month-long investigation, and police concluded that his death was a suicide. And it was staged by him to look like a homicide so that his family could collect the life insurance. I mean, who's to say? I read some of the, like, reporting around it. And it just – anytime that shit is, like – it was like, pretty gnarly. And I just – I don't know. I don't know. It's fucked. Ugh. So, yeah. So that was really intense. And I was like, oh, my God. I don't know what the deal is, but that – I don't know if
– Did people think he was killed by someone?
So when he
maybe
was,
who like he like asked about their census
answers? Yeah. So the reason why this all like is so fucked up and like ties back to him being a census worker is that his body was found, like I said, trigger warning, his body was found hanging from a tree and it had a piece of paper like taped to him that said fed. He worked. Yeah, it's just so I don't know. Like if it was staged, that's so I don't know.
Anyway, this is all fucked up. Like,
yeah,
if someone killed him for being a census enumerator or whatever.
Yeah, enumerator. Yeah, I know.
Like, no, that's so fucking dumb. But also, if he faked it, that's sad. And
it's weird. Super sad.
Yeah.
There was like some people thought that he had cancer that had returned, and he was just like,
out.
Who knows? Yeah. So, and then another one that I saw that is horrifying, like this is a literal horror movie, was a census worker, this woman who was killed by a pack of fucking dogs after she entered somebody's rural property. This was back in 2000. A pack of dogs attacked and killed a 71-year-old Census Bureau worker who was attempting to count the occupants of an isolated rural home. An autopsy showed that this woman, Dorothy Stewart, died from injuries sustained during the attack.
Oh, my God. I didn't mean to laugh just now, but it reminded me of something I saw earlier in a Reddit thread of a picture. Someone's like, where am I? And they were like on a rural – someone's rural compound, and it had like a totem pole thing with like a naked Barbie on it and like a fucking part of a car. It was so weird.
On Ed Gein's property.
Yeah dude, like you're going to fucking weirdos houses,
dude. That's all I could think of was just like the amount of horror movies that could be made around like fucking census workers going to like rural properties like this.
Oh dude, also just think about it in terms of just like numbers and statistics, you're going to some fucked up people's houses. Like, even if you just are doing all LA County normal streets, like
how many serial killers' houses doors are you knocking on? How many fucking Buffalo Bills are you encountering?
Dude, yeah, how many people have a skin suit downstairs and they're like,
have a woman trapped in a well?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Truly. And so just to put a wrap up this story about this census worker, she was basically mauled by a pack of dogs, and the deputies that arrived on scene counted more than 20 dogs on this property. And so it was just like she had no chance. As soon as she stepped on the property, it was like
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And so that's
and then they hired those dogs to be police dogs.
It's a literal horror movie though, so
yeah. Oh my God.
And then I just was thinking, like I said about all the people through the course of the history of the Census Bureau of our country having to go and question or go door to door and ask these questions.
Yeah.
All of the people who've had to go into these rural areas to find people who might be residing way the fuck away from other humans. Like, they got a hot tip that there's a house out in fucking who knows, like fucking goddamn podunk butt fuck, I don't know. Whatever. And that was literally back in the day. Back in, the 1800s, that was literally everybody.
Yeah.
Back in, the...
People weren't as deprived then, though, I feel like. Yeah. Depraved?
Depraved.
They were deprived.
Yeah, of oxygen to the brain. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is... It's wild that, like, people were... Yeah, just, like, every road was a back road. This is what I've been thinking about because Pete and I have been watching Ken Burns' country music documentary, which is, like, amazing. And also, you're just watching it with the lens of 2020, and you're kind of like, people are stealing a lot from Black people and passing it off as their own music. But, like, everyone's like, oh, like, a lot of stuff was heavily borrowed from the Black community. It's like, no, bitch, that was stolen.
And heavily borrowed is doing a big lift for the actual word of stealing.
Yeah.
That's what you meant to say.
Yeah. But it's wild, like, it's wild just seeing some of these towns where it's like, oh, it's literally just a store and a church.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there would be little concerts out there or whatever. And musicians that toured the U.S. at that time, like in the early 1900s, it's like, oh, they're just going down dirt roads and that's the highway. And they're just driving, like, it's so wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the country is still really spread out. We just have lived in places pretty exclusively that are not.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man. Okay, I read a story about one enumerator who was, like, really hounding this building, trying to, like, get up into the building. There one apartment, and they weren't being very responsive. And so finally one day he showed up, and the landlord was like, fine, I'll let you in. And he was like, oh, sweet. Like, I can talk to the person who lives in this unit now. And the burnt couch on the stoop of the building should have tipped him off. But when he got to the door, there had been a fire and someone had died in it. And it smelled like dead human flesh.
And nobody had done anything about it?
No, no. I mean, like, the coroners had come and taken it. But, The person whom the landlord was like, yeah, I'll take you to that unit, asshole. And then,
what,
like,
a dick.
And then
you wanna go yeah. to this unit? Oh yeah. Right this way. Oh.
Hang on. I'll shut the door behind you. But have a good time. It's like, oh my God.
Why didn't they just say that person died? They could
I know. Yeah, I don't know. But the person thought it was pretty funny, like, oh, he got me. But also it was disgusting.
Good rip.
Good rip. Yeah, little rippers.
Oh, my God.
And then, I just wanted to read this little story because I thought it was so fun. It was on, like, it's on a thread about, like, how annoyed people are. Just, like, weirdest encounters from workers of the enumerators, yeah. the census workers. Yeah. And it's such a fun thread on Reddit. But I just thought this was really fun. It's from Outlaw Josie Meow. And they said, I had a guy argue with me about why he had to do it. I told him it was mandated by the Constitution, et cetera, et cetera. His address had, like, 8 prior visits. So I told him if he didn't complete it with me, he'd just have more people coming by. He said, and I quote, let them keep driving out here and wasting taxpayer money. And then I reminded him that he was a taxpayer. And then they said, left with a pop count, population count of 2. Success. So,
or, like, are you, like, how do you... I don't know.
I know. Well, I just like that they, like, kind of owned the guy and was
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
You're a taxpayer, so, like, you can keep paying for me to come out here, but, like, I'm going to get my check. So,
yeah, the faster we do this, the less time and money that taxpayers will have to put to this. So, let's just do it.
Also, the stories of, like, just the how poor the, systems are that they're using, like, mm-hmm. coming into work and everything's been, like, deleted, or, like, just, like, how fucked up it all is, because we know, like, the government is so far behind technology wise it's so far behind, like, it's eons behind. It makes my skin crawl how inefficient and shitty it is.
Well, we are a massive country with a ton of people in it.
Yeah.
And that's why we need to do this shit. It sucks, but this is the work. We have to own it and be a part of it. And, you know, it is overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it is hard, but we can do it.
Before we get into final thoughts, what would your – if you were an enumerator and you were going door to door, what would be the worst – scenario that you could come upon? Not like someone's dead or a burnt body or anything.
Sure.
And not like, oh, a guy has his dick out.
Yeah.
Like, if you pulled up to an apartment and you, like, they were like, would they be nice or rude? And, like, what would the situation be that you would be so, like, you would quit?
If I came to somebody's house and they were just, like, covered in shit, like, for fun. You know,
for fun shit.
Like, you could tell, like, that's what they were doing for fun. And I, like, caught them and they were like, oh, whoops, I guess I didn't get all the shit off, and they just answered the door. Like
sorry, you just caught me in diarrhea wrestling.
That would be horrendous. It's not mud
wrestling. It's mud butt wrestling.
Is that chocolate? It's doo-doo, baby. Chocolate. This is doo-doo,
what's all
baby.
This? Chocolate all over your face, motherfucker. Chocolate? This is doo-doo, baby. Best stand-up bit. That's the best stand-up special of all time.
Oh, my God.
Dave Chappelle, live at the Fillmore.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So good. Great. What about you?
Mine would be a scenario where, like, a little sweet old lady invites me in and then, like, tries to...
It's that
to...
scene from It. The second scene? One. The second one where she's, like, scuttling around, like, butt naked and, like, turns into the clown.
No. Oh, I don't know that. I don't remember that. Oh, no. Mine would be, okay, little old lady invites me in and then it's, like, smells weird in there and you're like... it's just gross and like very dusty probably, and like she makes me sit on her very dusty couch and then she's like, can I offer you anything? I just made ham loaf. And I'd be like, no. And then I'd be too nice, so I'd be like, I'd probably try and be like, oh, I'm okay. And she'd be like, no, you've probably been working hard all day, it's lunchtime, I'm just making a ham loaf, I don't have anyone else here to share it with, I'll make you a plate. And then it's like, okay. And then I have to eat it to be nice.
And it's super salty.
And it's just like ham.
Ham. It's like farty.
Yeah, it's just like farty, and there's like pickles in it and like mayonnaise.
And it's also in a Jell-O mold.
Yeah, and it's also in a Jell-O mold. And also it's like somehow burnt and raw.
Cool, yeah.
Ham's never raw, but it's like cold. Like it You're like, feels raw.
Is this hot dog or Spam.
Yeah, and then she's like, it's a ham loaf. And then she's like, but I didn't have any ham, so it's all bologna. And I'll be like, no! And then I run out screaming and I quit.
Minced bologna. That's actually pretty... That's pretty...
Bologna that's loaf.
Pretty, yeah, that's pretty intense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess, listen.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen because, you know, COVID. But wow. I just think, man... My final thoughts and feelings on this. I feel like I got all my thoughts and feelings out at the top pretty much. Mm-hmm. But I think a really just in general, just in terms of the census, a really cool thing to do if you do have the ability to access any of those like ancestry sites is to look up the census for your family as far back as you can find and just like read. Like, look up the data for your family. Like, look up the names. Like, read the names. Read the who is living where. Like, I don't know. It's just – it's such a interesting thing to do to, like – you just kind of get this little glimpse, this little story of your family's past by reading through census information. And I don't know. Maybe someday you'll – somebody from generations from now will find – your name in census information and read your name and wonder who you were. And it's kind of a cool thing to think about. I don't know.
Yeah. I saw, it must have been like it was whatever census was like in the early 1920s. Cause I was looking up my great grandfather's citizenship because apparently, like, I could maybe apply to get Italian citizenship because, it's like, it's really hard. You just like have to like be able to prove your lineage, and it's helpful that it's like my mom's side, but then it's her dad, and that it's like male mostly. So
right,
it's
like patrilineal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like above my mom, but yeah, I saw that the census during the early 1920s, whatever year it was, my great grandfather was still not a naturalized citizen, which is the requirement of Italian citizenship if you're going to get it through a great-grandparent. Mm. My grandparent couldn't have been born before he became a citizen. So if he would have been a citizen already, then I wouldn't be eligible. But because he technically wasn't, and then my grandpa was born, then I might be able to get it. Something I looked into when everything was falling apart a couple months ago.
Yeah, and you're like, can I move out of this country?
Yeah, I was like, where can we like go anywhere? And then I was like, oh, I can maybe move to Europe.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, I couldn't live in London because they're not part of the EU anymore, but or anywhere in the UK. But
a lot of fascists in Italy right now too, though. So
yeah, true, true. Well, I wouldn't necessarily live there, but I would have like European Union status. So
yeah, yeah.
We'll see. TBD.
Yeah, TBD. I mean,
things
all
go in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just November 3rd, guys.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Get ready. I'm ready. I'm not ready, but I'm ready, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
I like don't want it to happen, and I do want it to happen.
I know. We're getting real close. Because
it's like, if it gets worse, I don't know what's going to happen. But if it gets better, then I would like that.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah. All right. Well.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Sorry if this was just not your, not our typical episode, but.
But not sorry.
Sorry, but not sorry. Yeah.
No, the stuff we wanted to talk about. And we have the opportunity to do so. And if people don't want to listen, then they just don't listen, you know?
It's a free country for now.
Yeah, for now. Right. I asked Pete last night when we were going to bed, I was like, am I going to be of Peter soon?
Oh, no.
And he was like, I think he thought I meant it as like a married thing. And I was, and he's like, do you want to? And I was like, no.
Aww.
I'm saying, am I going to be forced to?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like,
am I going to lose all of my identity because I'm a woman?
Yeah.
In Gilead. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I going to like not have any of my own money or access to anything that I want?
Well, you know, that's all I got. Follow us on social medias. Unless you've seen The Social Dilemma, and then I don't blame you for not.
At DTFU Podcast, though, if you're interested, all the platforms. Visit our website, dtfupodcast.com.
That's right.
Leave us a review on iTunes. Maybe not after this episode, actually.
It's not a great –
wait till there's a funny one.
Yeah, this isn't our usual –
go back to the last episode and listen to the Kids Bop songs we wrote. Then give us 5 stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you so much for bearing with us, and
we just
love you guys a lot, and
I do,
man. I'm gonna say it, because it's important.
Really mean it,
and I really, really mean it. I mean it every time, but I really mean it right now.
Yeah,
be excellent to yourselves
and each other,
please.
But,
please. All right, bye-bye.